I'm the siren, the cad, the red dress. Yes, historically speaking, I should be a woman. At least my character has appeared most in that guise, singing at sailors from rocks and ice pick under the bed. But I have no need of weapons. A glint in the eye can do far more damage than a blade. Lust is sharp, the oldest vice with the power to make even a priest weep. So as I pour my honey in your ear, remember there's a little sin in every saint. Lord, give me chastity, a good man said, but not today.
Great characters make great drama. More than TV, ITV.
Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at dungeonsanddoritos.com.
The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
What's going on, everybody? This is Pat, your talking bearskin rug. Fuck it. This is Pat DeBear talking. How are you doing?
You don't like that moniker anymore?
No.
It's canceled. It's canceled. No more.
He's officially had it. Officially.
Well no. I mean, I was given the talking bearskin rug back when I first made an appearance on the show, but that was partially because I was literally sitting on the floor.
Oh, wow.
Because in his old office, there wasn't a lot of room, and we had everybody there. We had Joshua, we had Eric, Oral, him. I think Jacob might have been there. And then there was me, and literally there was nowhere for me to sit
except
the floor. So I just there was always the straight man on the floor title that was given to whoever was the straight person that was
on the show
at that point, which at that point was Jacob. And so then, straight boy
and
on the floor.
You said, move, I'm gay.
Exactly.
Look at you now. You're sitting in a chair and everything. Look how far you've come.
I'm sitting in a chair. I'm running it. I'm editing it. I'm setting shit up. Look, this is the American dream. Moving on up. To the west side. I'm not in East Orlando anymore, so figured it didn't work if I said the east side. I don't want anybody out there to think that I fucked up the lyrics, because I know the lyrics. Just letting y'all know it. It is Pat DeBear here. I am ready to discuss pop culture in our rectangle table discussion. It's not a round table. I don't care what the theater of the mind is going to be. I want them to have an accurate picture in their minds of what this looks like.
But I look like Denzel to them.
Exactly. And we're in a palatial studio in L.A. This is how people apparently see us. So that's how we're going to do it.
It's called Hollywood magic.
Exactly. It is our monthly recap. And I am joined by all the voices that you have heard so far. We've got Eric.
Hello.
We've got BJ.
Hi, what's up?
And we've got Josh.
Hello.
And let's jump right in and start talking pop culture. Eric, why don't you give us your first topic that you want to talk about this month?
So there's this small theatrical production, which I don't think a lot of people have heard of, that I happen to go see.
I don't know.
I
think maybe a couple people heard about it, but I don't think it was that popular. I heard there were lots of tickets still available for very affordable prices.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange subject matter. It's historical figure of Alexander Hamilton.
Who wants to see a show about that?
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And you wouldn't necessarily think it, but it's all the hippity hop style of music. No, I saw Hamilton. Yay!
Why did you look directly at me when you said it's the hippity hop music?
Because he's racist. Yes,
because I have to speak directly into the front of my mic, and you're directly across the table from me.
A likely story, sir.
I'm giving you silence and side eye.
The audio engineer would yell at me if I tried to speak into the side of the mic. That's but true. No, I saw Hamilton.
Yay! Yay! Has it finished its run here in Orlando?
Yes, it just finished. Well, no, it's finishing tonight as we record this.
Oh, okay. Yep. Oh, well, I guess I didn't win any of those lottery tickets.
No. I mean, I heard that people did. I don't have any firsthand accounts of anyone actually winning the lottery tickets.
Oh, yeah. I tried like five different for five shows, something like that.
Yeah.
And did not win any of them.
Well, if you want to try for Tampa, it's going there next.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. But it was amazing. The staging was so cool. Lots of good voices in the cast. Some weren't necessarily as strong as the original cast, but that's to be expected.
The travel cast.
Yeah. But it was really good. I was surprised that there's no actual spoken dialogue in the show. Everything you hear on the soundtrack is the show.
Yep. It's one of the, I can't remember what those are classified as, but like, yeah, it's everything is the song or the rap.
Yeah. I kind of figured there would be like exposition in between songs, but no, but that was fine. Tell what the story is and all that. Yeah. Good. Thumbs up. All the flames.
How many flames?
412.
412 flames.
Well, you've been waiting to see this for a while.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to travel to New York to go see it.
Well, I know. You've been jamming to that Hippity Hoppity Hamilton soundtrack.
I have.
What's your favorite song from the soundtrack?
Probably You'll Be Back.
Huh.
But, wait, that's the one white song in the entire show, right?
I mean, it is. It's the song from King George.
Is that the one that you can actually like keep up with and like keep in time with?
I can do a little of the rapping.
I love when people are like, You'll Be Back is my favorite song. I'm like, oh, the white song. Got it. Which I didn't know until somebody did it at karaoke because I haven't listened to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I'm listening. I'm like, wow, this is the whitest song. I'm like, yeah, that's the one white person on the show. I'm about to call you Drag Race All-Star Season 4. All these people of color. And you identify with the one white person at the end.
But as far as the show, Yorktown is the song and scene that gave me the most chills. Like, it was just the way it was set up. Mm-hmm. And as far as the best staging was actually Satisfied, which is Angelica Schuyler's song. She sings as a toast at the wedding.
To the groom.
Yep, exactly.
To the bride. To the windows. To the wall.
She starts singing about the sweat dripping down her balls, and everyone's like, what?
I want somebody to mash that up at karaoke. I've had a couple people do that song. I need somebody just in the middle of it to start doing that. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, but it's really great. If anyone gets the chance to, go see it. Somebody was talking about an urban myth that somebody paid $4,000 for a ticket to go see it.
Girl, no, that's
in Orlando.
Expensive.
And I was like, just use that money to actually take a trip up to New York and see it on the Broadway.
This is Florida. Ain't nobody got $4,000.
Have you seen some of the houses in this neighborhood?
Yeah,
apparently some rich motherfuckers. A couple of houses down, or any of the single story houses around here, as soon as they're done, they get demolished, and these ginormous two story like gargantuan houses on these small lots get erected, and it's like, what's the going rate? Oh, at least $700,000.
Your neighborhood's becoming the first district.
I mean, you're speaking of it as if we are not currently recording in one of those palatial right. mansions.
I mean, we're the ones that started it on this block, but
I have to drink one of those vomit champagnes from the second movie, and then go stuff myself at the buffet we have available here. Num 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 num.
Now available on iTunes.
Ding.
But I would give Hamilton 4.75 stars.
Flames. I mean, I guess the star is a flame.
It is.
So,
it's a ball of gas.
I want to know where that other quarter star got lost.
The travel cast.
Oh, okay.
Oh. He's got reasons.
Listen, I mean,
there were performances that I just didn't feel popped as well as they could have.
Did they lock at least, or no?
They did. They brought in the noise and the funk.
Both? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's worth the price. Mm-hmm. Noise and funk.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
Yep, yep.
Was there any stomping going on?
That's a different show. Just.
You're all hateful bitches. So 4 3/4 flames for Hamilton.
Yep.
Phenomenal.
It's fantastic.
BJ, let's swing the conversation to you. What do you want to talk about?
This conversation pendulum.
Yes.
So
you have the talking bear now. It's feelings hour, and you have the talking bear.
Well, I have a lot of feelings, and I've managed to.
I thought you got rid of them.
They come back. I just take a shot, and it clears up for a while. So I have actually gone back and listened to episodes, and I have not gushed about this. So I apologize for whatever happens. Kingdom Hearts 3 came out.
Oh, okay, we're done. I'm sorry.
Time to go. No.
It's been great, listeners. We thank you for joining us this month.
It didn't really. It's just an urban myth.
No, don't you start. Don't you start.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is never going
to
come out.
Oral lied to us. It came out. You hear me, Oral?
Are
I'm
you
playing
in Inception?
It.
Did you spend the top to make sure you're not in a dream?
Don't do this to me
you
because
found
I
the top in this town?
I went to sleep after I got the game, and I woke up terrified that I just, like, I went insane, and I've just been playing, like, a pine cone. Just, I stuffed in my PS4 thinking it's Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, let's be clear. I was legit terrified that I was just a crazy person and this game was never going to exist.
I mean...
It doesn't. I don't know what you're
does.
Talking about.
Shut your face. Listen here. And actually, I gotta say,
so Kingdom Hearts 2.999978 came out. Got
y'all
it.
Y'all done? You have any more? Any more Kingdom Hearts? Never gonna come out jokes? Remix jokes? Eddie? Anything?
I'm sure we can think of probably another 10 before the.
See, you missed one there. You see, you could have said another 18 because it's been 18 years since the last since Kingdom Hearts 2 came out.
Sora's voice actor went from being an adorable child to a not-so-adorable man.
yeah.
He used
How
to see
you,
dead
sir.
People, and now he almost is a dead person.
He's so cute. Why are y'all so mean to him?
His career is a dead
y'all
person.
Y'all shitting on my game, shitting
you,
on my future
have
ex-husband.
You seen what he looks like right now?
Yeah, he's a little chubby boy.
That chubby. Beard has got to go.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does. It
looks like he took all the money that he made as a child actor and blew it and is now living in a trailer in the middle of like
a van down by the river.
Yeah, pretty
don't
much.
Talk about my trade like that. Don't talk about my trade like that. It means I have a chance.
you are a gold trash bag now, so
I am. I am a gold trash bag, so he'll definitely put out for me. anyway, the game has actually been well worth the wait. The amount of care they have put into the game and the script and convoluted story aside, it's been nothing but fun. The battle system's stupid fun. They're like, you pretty much go into the game, like right into the game. Like you start it, you land on Mount Olympus and you're going through. And the best part is that James Wood still plays Hades, and they snuck a little joke in there where it's just like a quickie version of the Hercules movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you're popping in right at the end of the Hercules movie, and Hades just kind of goes, I've been working on this plan for 18 years. It's got to be perfect. And then he's like, 18 years I've been working on this, and it went to me. And it's just there's little jokes in there about like how long the game took in development, which I really like. And then the awkward moment where Sora gets a smartphone and you realize, oh, wait, smartphones didn't exist when the first two games came out. So all your mini games and everything are actually on it's called a gummy phone.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, no. So the battle system's great. When you get a new Keyblade, they have what is called form change. So when you do a certain number of combos, mm-hmm. you... Like the Monsters, Inc. one turns into, like, robot claws. And then it turns into the weird sort of grapple yo-yos. And it does sick amounts of damage. So it's neat little things like that that make the game, the battle... Like, I actually want to go grind because I have, like, 20 Keyblades now. And I'm... I just want to see what they all can do.
This is not the gay life episode about friends and fucking. I don't need to hear you talking about grinder.
I said 20 keyblades, not two. The interesting little thing is that in the Pirates, so far, I'm only about halfway through the game, the Pirates world, somehow they have managed to create a better pirate simulator game than Sea of Thieves on Xbox.
It's Xbox.
I mean, yeah. So. But they've actually managed to make it, like, the rendering, the graphics are fucking ridiculously nice looking. Everything about this game has been well worth the wait for me. There could be people out there that are just like, meh, I'm over it. But so far, it's been great. In the old games, you would kind of play like a compressed version of a Disney movie. Now they don't even bother doing that. You're literally just kind of walking in and you look up and you're like, somebody's singing. And it's, you literally watch the entire Let It Go musical number. With Idina Menzel as Elsa. They got Idina Menzel, Kristen Bell, the entire voice cast from Big Hero 6.
Yeah, they're usually really good with the Kingdom Hearts games. Well, because Disney basically owns those people for the rest of their lives.
They even got one or two people from the Pirates movies. Mm-hmm. I was actually legitimately surprised they got so many people, so many actual original voice actors. I would say if you wanted this game, you've already bought it. So let's be clear. Like if you've never played Kingdom Hearts, then good luck.
I played about half of the first one. Is it good for me to just jump in on this one?
Sure.
I don't know what's going on, right?
So there actually is, they're well aware of how difficult it is to follow the story. They actually have a little theater thing in the bottom of the main menu. And you can literally just watch, like, the story of, like, all the games in little, like, storybook versions. Because I guess they, over in Japan, they actually released a version of the game called The Story So Far. And it was a limited edition thing. And it came with a disc that had a movie in it that explained pretty much everything up until 3. So there is a built-in thing in the game to explain the story to you.
So the last time I actually played a Kingdom Hearts game, I had a Motorola Razr. Okay.
I had a Nokia.
I got the second one, the Kingdom Hearts 2 on PS2, and I had a Motorola Razr at the time. And I would like to play the third one. However, I'm going to make Kingdom Hearts 3 wait for me a little bit longer, since they have made me wait. For 18
See, you have,
fucking years.
You have
stick it to the Square Enix.
Exactly.
And Disney.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to contribute to that quota not being skyrocketed.
You have self-respect, sir.
You'll have to wait 18 years for me to buy you.
Yeah. Take that.
But I would give the game... I'll give it 4.75 out of 5.
All right. I did like the fact that they have the complete edition... that the PS4 store had, like, the two options. I mean, obviously, I'm sure it's still there now that the game is out, but I saw it before the game had come out, and you had the option to pre-order 3 for the, whatever, $70, $69.99. Mm-hmm. And they also had the complete edition, which had everything, and that was only $100. And I was like, that's not bad. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and be spending $70 already, if you don't have the other ones... And at that point, the other ones are all for the older systems anyway. You get everything on PS4 and spend, you know, an extra 30 or so bucks.
Yeah.
It was a nice little deal.
I ended up getting the deluxe edition. Just came with a cloth poster of Sora and his Toy Story getup. It came with, apparently they have Disney pins, limited edition. You can only get the Kingdom Hearts Disney pins from the special editions. So if you're weird... like Disney pin aficionado, there are Disney pins out there for this thing floating around now. I'll probably buy them on eBay for like $100. I may or may not sell mine. I may or may not sold one.
Sell them. Okay, I'm like, you sitting over here talking about nobody in Orlando's got $4,000 to go see a show. And he's like, you can buy these pins for $100 a piece.
At Disney. And people shell out money for that, didn't he?
No, I know, but I thought you were talking about you buying them. I was like, bitch. No, I know that people pay a shit ton of money for Disney stuff.
So, but, and it came with an art book. So, yep, money well spent. I've been kind of clocking a world like a day and a half, sort of. So I've been kind of taking my time with it. They have a, there's a mechanic in the game called Lucky Emblems, which are just the little Mickey symbols. And there's nothing quite like Donald or Goofy will point one out, but they won't actually like walk over to it. So you'll spend like 30 minutes wandering around like a jackass with your cell phone out looking for a damn Mickey emblem.
Got to find all the hidden Mickeys.
Yep.
So that makes a lot of sense now, because I've been seeing those memes with like with Woody from Toy Story, like from the first movie, where he's like, "Oh my God, Buzz, look!" And then like Buzz looks around, but they imposed Sora's face on it and said, "You know, look, Sora, a lucky emblem."
Yeah. There's that a lot of sense. There's some meme goodness about it, but so for anybody that hasn't figured it out, the lucky emblems are tied to the ending of the game. So for you to get the full ending, if you're playing on the hardest mode, you have to get 30 lucky emblems. If you're playing intermediate, I think it's 40 or 50. And then if you're playing easy mode, you have to get all 90 emblems to get the full special ending.
And I assume because you like it hard, you're on hard.
Yeah, I've already got my 30. Yeah.
No, she a working girl.
She is a working girl.
She grinds.
Items. You get items too.
She grinds to get her lucky emblems.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get mine.
She works hard for them emblems.
Better let get me get yours. Mine. You get yours. No. All right. Thank you, Christina Aguilera.
Stay up all night to get them lucky emblems. I tried.
And it wasn't PJ that had that caused the silence. Right? This
episode. Oh, that's right. We are. This is our sound of silence.
I mean, does our laughter count as?
That wasn't a really long, awkward pause.
It wasn't a long one. I can do better. But good try, Eric. Good Thanks. Try.
Wow. Okay. Swinging the pendulum over to you, Josh. What do you want to talk about?
So I'm going to start with How to Train Your Dragon 3, The Hidden World. So I am a Fandango VIP member, and on the 2nd, they had a one-time showing available to the VIP users to see a special showing of the movie. So I actually skipped my kickball game.
Oh my God.
To see this movie, because I have been waiting a very long time. And I just watched Race the Edge on Netflix, which is between the first movie and the second. So when I started watching that, it kind of just reamped my excitement for the third movie. And I have to say, I was not disappointed. I would say that as of right now, I'm going to see it again when it comes out in theaters for its official release in 3D. But I'm still processing it, but from my first viewing, I would say the second one is still my favorite, but the third had it was very well done. And regardless of how it kind of, you know, what spot it takes in terms of my favorite, I would say out of a lot of trilogies that I've seen, especially with animated films, this is by far one of the best ones I've ever seen. And I feel like the ending was very well done. Like, it was bittersweet, of course.
See, like, because the third Toy Story movie had a bittersweet moment that about fucking destroyed me, so now I'm scared. You've got me scared because they blindsided me in the fucking second movie, and I'm like, never again. You broke my heart, and now you think I'm just going to get in line and get it broken again? After I just talked about waiting in line for Kingdom Hearts 3, so let's...
Of course.
I can't really split hairs on that, but... So it's got some emotional parts of it?
It does. It definitely has... gives you the feels a little bit. I think... Overall, I still think, you know, the end of 2 just, like, hit me the hardest. But it takes place about, like, maybe a year or two after the events of the second, you know... I want to say the villain, I wasn't really, I wasn't too fascinated with, to be honest, but, I think that's because I already know that the second villain, Drago, was actually originally meant to be the villain for the third movie.
Yeah, that's what in the trailers, he seems a little bit like Drago.
A little bit. He has... So, without spoiling anything, because, you know, it hasn't officially been released, it kind of goes into, like, his character. You kind of find out what happened to a lot of, like, all the other Night Furies. Okay. And why Toothless was the last one. But I feel like his character is really just more of a subplot, because I think the real point of the movie is in relation to the dragons and the hidden world versus, you know, what this villain's goal is. But I would probably give it a solid 4.5 out of 5 flames.
We've been very nice with the flames tonight.
We have been.
Just throwing flames out left, right, and center.
Someone better call Smokey the Bear, because there's going to be a fire soon.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. So you going to break that trend,
wow,
Pat, with your first topic?
One flame.
Whatever it is, -4 flames.
-4.
Actually, I kind of can. All right.
There we
challenge go. Accepted.
So, let's go ahead and talk about this now, because we haven't kept up with it. Nobody's really called us out for not doing our weekly recaps for this season of All Stars. But honestly, I'm kind of okay with not doing the weekly recaps, because...
they would have been pretty short recaps, I feel.
Yeah. RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars Season 4. A.K.A. they still go on to pick a white bitch when there's 8 people of color they could choose to win this show.
Don't blame it on her, because she's been performing well.
I blame it on Naomi for eliminating Manila, who should have won. So, we are back for a 4th installment of All Stars. I'm using the term All Stars very loosely in some cases here. If we keep...
Oh.
I wasn't even really talking about her, Jasmine Masters. But anyway.
You have something to say?
Oh, yeah. Hello, Pizza Hut. Are you currently hiring? Because Jasmine Masters needs a job. So if they continue to do seasons this quickly, we're really going to run out of talent.
Yeah, and it's going to be girls who just got off their season. Like, literally, they'll have 2 weeks, maybe a month in between filming their...
Oh, it'll be more than that, because the season's taped.
Yeah.
From where the season's taped in the summer, yeah, and they don't tape until the following summer. But, like Monet, they just released 2 new episodes of Sibling Rivalry podcast, uh-huh, in the last 2 weeks. And in the, not the most recent one, I think the one before that, she talks about the fact that they were finishing up filming season 10, and they asked her if she would do All Stars. So she hadn't even finished filming her season and was already possibly tapped to do All Stars. And them asking doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be cast on the show.
Right.
But the fact that they're asking queens literally that are finishing up filming the season to turn around and do all, you know, the next season of All Stars is a little much. I get that there are standout queens on each season, but I kind of feel like you need a little bit of time to
process,
like,
what you went through.
Process what you went through.
Work the tour with the girls who are...
Just work in general. Just, whether or not you do one of the tours, like, just get out there and become that, yeah, that become an all-star. Like, yeah, become what you're supposed to be, because what we see on the show is one thing, but, you know, they're not... It's not a lot of time, and they're not giving us a lot of time in between these seasons. So...
Well, we get a week.
Oh, this time around we get a fucking week. Oh. And then it switches to Thursdays again, which will be great for our bar sales back in the Bear Den, because then I'll start showing it on Thursday nights in the Bear Den while they have the viewing party up front.
Yeah.
And I probably won't get as drunk.
One would hope, because you have to work right after.
Yeah, I have to work on Friday nights also. So what if the pictures are a little askew? It's fine.
You're just putting that season one filter on those pictures. That's all.
RuPaul, why are you so motherfucking blurry? We are in the same room. Johnny McGovern posted a photo, I think today or yesterday, and the caption was, why are you so motherfucking blurry? And I damn near lost it. But yeah, All-Stars 4, it's been all right. Like, the challenges are fine. Up until this last one, which was god-awful.
Which, it's the same as last season. Because that acting challenge, which was my best friend's bachelorette, bridesmaid, whatever.
Yeah, the girls trip, bridesmaid, like, amalgamation, La La Land, like, all those.
Yeah.
Like, chick flick movies and whatnot. Last year's was better.
Really?
Except for Kennedy Davenport twirling her way through the at least we had Trixie's standout performance as,
which is that little doll
with
hand.
The doll hand brushing through her hair. But there were some decent ones, and the sequels one before that in All Stars 2 was good.
Yeah.
Where they had, you know, the unauthorized sequels to
right.
Showgirls and Thelma and Louise and Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Mm-hmm.
The makeover was fine. I still don't agree with Manila, one, even being in the bottom, let alone getting eliminated.
Who was the other one you would have put in the bottom with Latrice?
I don't even remember right now. Latrice should have just gone home.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, literally, her friend, her best Judy, looked like a brick shit house on toothpicks.
Yes.
He had such tiny legs. He looked like Naomi Smalls from the fucking bottom of the skirt down. His legs were like that big. He's like a 300-pound man. And his legs were twigs. They're like pan from the bottom up. You're like, oh, who is this? Oh, she a big girl. But they looked nothing alike. He did no justice on her whatsoever.
No.
Like, it was just, it was so bad. I'm surprised that Monet came in the top, though. Patty looked good, but I thought that
it had to have been what they did during the Judy number.
Maybe. Although I watched Review of the Jew today for that episode, and when they were talking about Trinity's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And Cracker was like, Nasha Lopez, look out. And I was like, oh my god, he does look like Nasha Lopez. It's almost as good as when Frankie Grande was made to look like Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
Exactly.
I think it's all pretty much gone down the way that it should have gone down for most of the eliminations, except for Manila. Manila is like one of the first times that it's been, let's take out a front runner. The only other like shocking elimination was in All Stars 2 when Alyssa sent home Ginger over Katya. When Katya technically did worse.
Also, when Alaska sent Tatiana home instead of Roxy.
Oh, I'm sorry. The studded tank top.
Exactly.
The studded tank top debacle. Apparently, Manila lent Naomi the mustache. But apparently, that was not as good as a studded tank top to wear. It amazes me. I know you sit there and say, well, you can't blame her for doing well. It's a reality show, but it's still storyboarded.
I know.
You can't tell me, after they have taken so much criticism for White and Blonde being chosen to win All-Stars and be in the All-Stars Hall of Fame, Chad Michaels, Alaska, and your Native American skinny legend, Trixie Mattel. She is half
exactly.
Native.
You have
she is
you
half have, Native American.
You
so
you have color up there. You have color represented.
And just because Trinity's taking black cock does not make her highly melanated. When I said Jesus, I want a highly melanated top four.
It doesn't transfer that way.
It doesn't. You can't tell me that you have 8 people of color that you cast for the show. You have a top 5 that is 4 black drag queens and 1 white plastic doll, and that when it comes down to it, that you're still gonna pick the white girl to win this. The optics of it look very weird.
I get that.
And the purported top 2 will be the 2 with the best scorecards, the most wins. The other two will not make it through to the top two. Which I think when this drops, I think the day of. So if you're listening to this and you haven't watched it, just don't listen to this right now.
after I say
spoiler
this.
Warning.
Yeah, after I've talked about all this. But yeah, I'm hoping that it goes one way. I am fearful that it's going to go another way. And it's going to really come down to just being like, let's just put this other white woman in this Hall of Fame. I don't know. I mean, either which way, I think the top two, the speculated top two, I think both deserve it. One's been around a little bit longer. The other one not as much. But I still think that, you know, they both have done well this season. I'm interested to see what the backlash will be if Trinity wins. Not at Trinity or at the girls, but at the show itself.
With the way the fandom's reacting, it'll probably be at Trinity. If that happens.
I can't fucking stand, this fandom anymore. I enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. I love working with the girls. But literally when I have to hear more and more fucking stories about how this person eliminated this person, so now they're getting death threats.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with this world? For fucking real. It's a goddamn television show.
It doesn't affect your individual life in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. And these people know each other and have to work together. If they can fucking deal with it and be friends and do all this, because after the elimination, Manila dropped her video for Go Fish, which Naomi is in.
Although I did just see a video with Manila performing Come Rain or Come Shine in a very similar green dress to Naomi's, making fun of a lot of Naomi-isms.
Which is fine. But you can, that's Manila's brand. That's her shtick. You know, if watch Review with the Jew if you haven't already.
Yeah.
Cracker interviews Manila and she talks about that and she's like, if it really bothers me, I'll reach out and call a girl. She's like, but if I have something shady and funny to say, I'm going to do it on social media because I live for it too. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. I saw the video where she like tries to bend over backwards and one of the guys has come out and like lower her down. Like, that's phenomenal. Like, I find that to be amazing. Like, I would rather that kind of shade than people sending death threats to fucking contestants on an unscripted television show. So I give this episode of All Stars 4 a -4.5 Naomi Flames. No, I think so far it's probably like a 3 flame season so far for me. It's been good. It hasn't been great.
Yeah.
I don't think they've been able to kind of recapture the magic of season 2. Mm-hmm. As much as I love Trixie and I'm glad that she won, and as much as I love Ben and for how well she did on All Stars 3, All Stars 3 just didn't have that same oomph. Mm-hmm. The cast overall. This cast overall doesn't have that same oomph. No. I love Monet. She's probably my top one out of like the entire cast. And Manila. I mean, I love Latrice as a performer. I've not loved Manila. Loved Latrice on the show. She just said she did not show out well.
No,
her drag hasn't aged well. Like there was for a television competition. In the years since All Stars 1.
There was only one look that Latrice did that surprised me in any way, shape, or form, which was that rubber latex.
The latex one with the balls?
With the anal beads.
Yeah.
Did she have the purple braid thing from her head?
The anal beads from her head? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. I mean, it was the balls, but the braid ball, the braid of balls.
It kind of looked like a balloon.
They were.
Well, yeah. It was
like, you could actually see the inflatable
knots, the balloon knots.
Yeah. You can see all of them balloon nuts.
But yeah. But season 11 does start soon. I am super excited to see Brooklyn Heights, who is a former Miss Continental on the show. Nina West has a lot of Midwest support. She is Ohio, I believe, based out of Ohio. She is a drag legend. She is, you know, people have been standing Nina West for a long time. Plus, which I found hysterical, was right after the announcement, like a day or two after the announcement of season 11 cast, one of my Facebook memories was a thing talking about Nina West and her philanthropic all the philanthropic deeds that she does in her hometown, and the fact that she's raised like millions of dollars for charity. So I'm like, it's just perfect timing that came back up right after the announcement of the cast. So for me, like, there's some people that I'm really excited to see on it. And then, you know, then you've got all your other pretty queens that are just kind of there, which maybe they'll make me fans, but at least I've got two people that I can root for.
Yeah. And if you're interested on going on Drag Race, season 12 is casting now.
I am interested in going on Drag Race season 12. Who? Tulita Pepsi needs to be the first big girl to win. Can't you see it happening? Me either. Yeah, they are casting season 12 right now. That should be closing up soon, because then they're going to start filming
All-Stars 5.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So would you say it's become kind of the Chopped of
kind of
VH1's LGBT shows?
Kind of. It's become the Voltron of LGBT shows on VH1. There's 47 seasons, and it's only been a year and a half, so... Although, and what killed me was I wasn't ready for a 10-episode All-Stars. All-Stars is usually 8 episodes. They threw 2 extra episodes on this one, and it feels like forever. But
I did like the Lala RuPaul. I can't even say it.
Lala Perusa?
Yeah, that one. The lip-sync extravaganza.
I didn't. Because there was nothing involved. There were no stakes in it whatsoever.
I thought it was...
It was cute to see all the lip syncs, because yeah. It's nice to see the girls do like what they should be doing.
Yeah, that's what I enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah. No, then I agree with you there. Yeah, yes. Yeah. The episode overall just didn't.
Because I mean, in the past, when they've done the comeback episode, it was like, okay, it was a group lip sync for All Stars 3. At least All Stars 2, it was a comedy challenge.
Absolutely.
Beast! And then they didn't do it on All Stars 1 because there was only an episode of All Stars 1.
There were 4 episodes of All Stars 1. Oh, dear God.
We don't talk about All Stars 1.
The delusion has gotten her. You got to be careful. The delusion will jump on you. So that is All Stars. That is all that we're going to be talking about All Stars right now. We'll chat more. Ginger Minj is going to be back in town soon. And has offered kindly to come over and chat the end of AS4 and the beginning of season 11 with us. So that'll be coming up soon. So keep an eye out for that episode.
Ooh.
That'll probably be a special drop, because depending on her schedule, you know, and with the season 11 premiere coming up soon, we'll have to figure that one out. But before we get into round 2 of our rectangle table discussion, I want to remind you that Flame On is listener supported, and if you are enjoying what we do here, then you can help continue making Flame On as amazing as it is by going to our website, flameonshow.com, where you can check out past episodes. You can scroll to the bottom and check out all of our social media. You can also go to our Patreon site, and by ours, I mean the Nerdy Show Network's Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdyshow, and become a patron there. You can donate at any amount. And if you would like some of that money to be distributed to us here at Flame On, you can always leave that in the notes, and they will get that and send a couple dollars our way.
We're so hungry. We're ever so hungry.
I know. We haven't had a pizza party in a while. You can talk to that one when she's in the country. It'll be a while, so just saying. You'll continue to be hungry. So
there's some stale Olive Garden breadsticks in the dumpster, I'm sure.
I was like, when did you leave your breadsticks here, Eric? So yeah, head over to patreon.com/nerdyshow, become a patron, and continue to feel free to tell your friends and other people that you talk to about our show. Word of mouth is still the best way to get our new listeners out there to know about us. So if you have friends that are asking about recommendations, Rodolfo just posted his February 2019 podcast listens, like what he's listening to this month, and tagged us on there. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And yeah, go subscribe on your on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Play Music podcast section.
Spotify.
Wherever you can get podcasts, I'm pretty sure you can find us. So subscribe, give us a rating or a review, and yeah, just continue telling people that you like us.
There are many roads to hate, but envy is the shortest. It isn't just about wanting what others have. It's important to take something away. I should know. My character is trouble. The darkness at the edge. I'm the villain. A teacher of pain. Let me continue our lesson. Left unchecked, envy becomes hate. Like the old story of the cow next door that provides the richest milk and the sweetest butter. I want that cow, says the neighbour. Dead.
Great characters make great drama. More than TV. ITV.
All right. So now we are back. We are going to do a round two bites of our pop culture roundup. This time around, we're going to start with BJ.
Oh, my God.
Get ready to start crying.
I wasn't ready. Oh, sis, son of a bitch.
What you going to talk about?
That Steven Universe finale. Motherfucker.
I know, because they basically just ended the show out of nowhere.
So, don't worry, because we're still getting a movie in the fall. And apparently there's one more season, but it's going to be kind of a retooled show.
Who cares at that point? We spent 425 episodes wondering what's going to happen with the diamonds. And now the diamonds are just chilling in a fucking hot tub.
So, Josh, do you guys watch Steven Universe?
I saw it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I literally just started watching it.
Like, you won't understand anything we're going to say.
Right. I'm so confused in the most wonderful way.
So,
they did it. They changed their mind.
It was, I was going to say, it was the whole thing. It was a little rushed, like the final.
It was a little rushed.
But when you're dealing with a character like what, because like everybody, the thing about Steven is he bonds with people, like empathetically, like he goes to people that think they should be one way and kind of convinces them, like there are other ways to do things. So when you have a character though, like White Diamond, who isn't worried about whether or not she's making the right choice, you don't really reach somebody in a normal way. You don't really reach them like, hey, let's talk a bit.
But, okay, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
That's fine.
But she does care, just in a different way.
Yes.
Which we come to find out, and that's what eventually tips everything. So, I mean, I'm not going to step on all of that part of it, but you think that she doesn't care, that she's very, and I mean, she's a little mad, so.
Yeah.
But it's
she isolates herself. Like,
yes,
yeah.
But you find out, and I think this is kind of an allegory for a lot of people, and especially like people dealing with mental health issues.
Oh yeah,
that you think that they don't care, don't empathize, or don't understand the same way, because it's not the same way that the majority of people do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting and kind of nice to see that they didn't just make it that, and they eventually showed you how. And I mean, it's Steven Universe. They've done a great job with a lot of these topics.
Yeah.
So for them to kind of come back around afterwards, that was an interesting way to play it for White.
Yeah. And I even though we haven't gotten a ton of screen time with White Diamond, I empathize with her a lot, because it's one of those things where I was very much raised in like a Baptist black family home, where like you're supposed to be a certain way, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that, and I'm the oldest in my family, so it's like I'm supposed to be married now with like 3.5 children and be working to take over my dad's church, and I'm like, cool story, bro. But it's there's a consequence to kind of to thinking you're supposed to be a certain way, to following a path, and then it goes off the rails, and then you don't really know what to do. You don't really know what your actual purpose is. And with White Diamond, it takes essentially her realizing, and if for Steven too, it essentially took them both realizing that they don't, the person that they have pretty much been kind of following this entire series is gone. Because there's that whole thing with Pink Diamond and Steven thinking that, like, oh, I'm supposed to be like her. I'm supposed to be like this. And finding out that after his gym's removed, it's just him. There's no like Deus Ex, like, surprise, I'm still here. Now we can be a family. No. She gone.
Well, yeah, and during all of that, they played the voiceover from the first videotape that he found, the first Steven video, where she says that she loves humanity and is gonna love being him. So it basically, you know, it was her way of saying, yeah, I'm not going to be around anymore. I'm going to become you. And yeah, that showed in that little scene there. So it was nice.
And I really liked it. I liked the whole thing with them, like, I do like the fact also, because it got super dark for a second there, where, like, he's literally dying after he gets his gym taken out, and it's not like one of those, he just becomes human. He can't even walk. Like, Connie has to carry him to Pink Steven, and I'm like, ugh. I was like, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, well, it was half of him, basically, was removed.
Gone. Yeah. And then I got a shout out to all the surprise fusions we got. That was actually, Sunstone is my jam. I love Sunstone so much.
It felt like they could have done this as 2 1-hour parts and given a little bit more time.
Yes.
It felt like the first, like, all the way up to that point, it felt like so long. Like, and it was so detailed.
Uh-huh.
And then we kind of just rushed through everything else from there. Like, I feel like they should have given a little bit more time to it.
Yeah. I liked Rainbow 2.0. Rainbow Quartz 2.0 was super cute. Which I actually, and Rebecca Sugar went on Twitter and gave their pronouns. Rainbow Quartz 2.0 identifies as a man. Him, he.
Interesting.
Yes. And
I feel like that's the first gem to do that.
And Sunstone identifies as them, they. Gender neutral.
Okay.
And I think Smokey identifies as her, as a she.
Okay.
So it was very, and but also I think Stevani also identifies as them, they as well.
No, that makes sense.
So I thought that was interesting, and then and of course Obsidian identifies as them, they.
Obsidian identifies as goddamn fucking mountain
lava sword. I was down. I liked the formation of Obsidian. I was like, oh shit. Finally, here we are.
I really feel like it deserved more though.
True.
Like, the only time you're gonna give me that finally is as they're climbing up, like, the legs, you know, the ship body, and then that's it. Like, that's all we got.
But, yeah,
you know, hey, at least it happened.
Yeah, and I'm super interested to see what they do for the movie, and I'm super interested to see what they're gonna do for this, like, next season, because the way Rebecca Sugar said it was kind of like how, you know, when you have an anime change to a different title, so you've got Dragon Ball, but then you have Dragon Ball Z. They're gonna try out a season of it switching to possibly, like, just, it's gonna probably have the same characters, but it might shift focus to the off colors. Or Lars or somebody or some other character. So I'm very interested in seeing where the characters are, because there is, I think, Rebecca Sugar said there's going to be a time jump, a small one, not a big one, but definitely there's going to be a time jump. So it'd be very interesting to see how life on Homeworld potentially changes and how the gems on Earth change. I still want my Lapis Peridot fusing. So we'll see how it goes. I'm very excited to see what the show has. So I'm definitely giving this 5.2, 4.2 out of five flames.
I was gonna say, wow.
Shit, like, fuck the five flame rating. It's a 5.2.
5.2.
All right. I was surprised that it just kind of, like, quietly ended the series that way. It was okay. Okay. Thought it was another 15 fucking minute episode. I was like, sure, I can do this before bed. An hour later, I'm like, god damn. And then I was like, wait, is that the end? That's the end. wait, what? It's 2 something in the morning, and I'm like, all right, because I'm going to bed now. Confused.
I am confusion.
I am confusion.
I am confusion.
All right. Josh, what is your next topic of discussion?
We're going to talk about Child's Play. So they released the new Child's Play reboot trailer recently, and I'm totally down for it.
Yeah. It it looks like it's kind of like the AI gone bad.
Yeah. So I went and I saw some pictures that they had released, kind of like a animated cartoon, like a advertisement type deal. But like the box has those little Wi-Fi the symbols or the waves over the I in Buddy. So I guess they replaced Y with an I. And in the trailer, like, he scans Andy, so I'm curious to see, you know, how, like, modern technology has really been implemented into Chucky, and how, you know, all that kind of plays into factor with how he's going to be killing people.
So this is a full-on reboot.
Yeah. Oh, it's
not
a full-on
sort of
reboot.
Sequel.
No.
So I wasn't quite sure at first. I heard it was supposed, they were doing a reboot, but, you know, I wasn't quite sure if this was 100% reboot or if this was just like what they've been doing with like Curse
of Chucky,
Cult
I think.
Cult of Chucky.
Yeah, Cult of Chucky was the most recent one.
But one, I'm glad that it's going back to its horror roots. I'm glad that it's going back to theaters instead of straight to DVD. But when I looked at the IMDb page to look at the characters, Aubrey Plaza plays Karen. Barkley and this new kid is the new Andy, so that was kind of what solidified this being 100% reboot. But it looks like it's going to be more intense and bloodier, and I'm excited.
Well, and it looks like it's not just Andy's buddy; it's like all of them.
There's
the trailer has a scene of like all the parents there to pick up like theirs. And everybody's like freaking out and like murders abound. So I'm very excited.
I can't wait. And it's coming out this year. Hopefully it'll be around October. There isn't an official release date yet, but I would hope to be October because that'd be a really good like
Halloween
movie. Another thing that I'm kind of excited for is it looks like I might see some emotion on Aubrey Plaza's face this time around. Of all the things I've seen her in, she seems pretty stoic. And that she has this general same blank expression on her face, which I typically like, but I think her having different emotions, like smiling and fear, kind of freaks me out. And I think that adds to the excitement for the movie.
I wouldn't have expected to see her in a horror movie, but I'm very happy she's there.
I wouldn't either. I mean, she did this movie, Ingrid Goes West, which I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list of movies, but from what I've seen from the trailer, it looks like she's kind of like, you know, what is it, like Swim Fan or The Roommate type
it's
situation.
It's almost like a single white female.
Yeah,
so I mean, I guess if that's what that movie
shows
was,
you where our age is, Eric.
Only a matter of
Josh
time.
Josh, like Swim Fan. We're like single white female. Bitch.
That's the one I was looking for, but I couldn't quite remember what it was. I barely remembered Swim Fan. So
most people did.
I was grasping at straws for that one.
Listen, leave Julie Stiles alone.
She wasn't even. Wait, was?
Was it her?
No,
she. It wasn't her.
Was the other one look like her? Were the two actresses around that time that both kind of looked alike? It was Julia Stiles and the other, the, I think whoever's in Swim Fan was the other one. There were two that I kept getting confused around that time.
I definitely
these
know
blonde white girls, they all look
they
the
all
same.
They all look the same. It's just like us bearded white gay dudes, so we all look the same.
You're right. You're right, Eric.
I don't even have a beard.
Theater of the mind, Eric. Theater of the mind. You look like a Duck Dynasty reject.
I'm sorry, Jeff. There it is. There it is.
I almost said something, but
whoa,
I was like,
there it is.
No, I shouldn't do that.
That's probably what I was thinking. He's a swim fan.
The last thing I'll say with the Child's Play reboot, I don't think Dorif is going to be voicing Chucky this time around. Because he hasn't shown up on the IMDb cast list. And
is anyone listed as the voice of Chucky right now?
No one.
They're, I think, and they're being very careful not to release, like, his voice or kind of his facial expressions or anything. Yeah. You don't really even see his face. You kind of see his outline. Mm. And
they're probably still doing the CGI.
I mean, probably. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of practical effects going into it. But I'm very excited to kind of see what they do with his voice. Because, honestly, I think it would be just as creepy if they use, like, the good guy voice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the, hi, I'm Chucky. Like,
I want to play?
Yeah, I think it would be creepier if it was just that. Because, honestly, I felt a little more on it in the later Child's Play movies, like the first three. Mm-hmm. It was very unsettling when Chucky would start
pretend to be the toy.
Pretend to be the toy.
Yeah.
So
you're excited for Black Mirror Child's Play. Got it. Coming out this year.
So are you excited for all of the horror reboots that they're doing? Like, did you like It?
I did like It, actually. Now, I have not seen the original It before.
Did you ever read the
I
book?
Saw the remake?
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't read the book. So I lack the attention span most of the time to read books. I have every once in a while I can grab a book that'll keep me attention, but most of the time I'm pretty visual, so I do the movies. But I didn't see It until after I saw Part One.
Yeah.
It was during the hurricane, and that we got about halfway through before we lost power. So the last half I didn't see. But I do remember distinctly having nightmares of a black and white Ronald McDonald when the movie originally came out. So I think I saw a part of it.
Understandable.
I had terrible parents. I first off, with Child's Play, they let me watch that. I think I was maybe six-ish, maybe. And my buddy doll came out. And I had one, and I had red hair, blue eyes, and freckles, fucking overalls, and here I am watching Child's Play. I never wanted to touch the thing ever again.
Do you want awesome. Me to go get mine?
No. Do you really have one?
Yes.
My buddy and
so
me.
Mine got thrown in a closet,
kid
but
sister,
I don't know what
kid
happened.
Kid sister.
That'd be really interesting. They implemented like a kid sister reference in the movie. Like they had girls too, you know?
You would need somebody of like my age range who grew up with
my buddy and kid sister.
With kid sister,
yeah,
around.
I was gonna say,
because right now that would make no sense to anybody.
Yeah,
I don't see, and that's it. Would have been great if they had incorporated it in the original, mm-hmm. because then they could have done with the reboot. But I think it's so far gone now that like,
yeah, I don't think kid sister really took off like my buddy did.
No, not at all. But no, I never watched Child's Play, so my buddy and I stayed best friends and. He is, I if I'm not mistaken, my buddy and my pillow person are two of the things that
people.
Are in my, I have one tote of stuff from when I moved from New York down to Florida almost 11 years ago that has stayed through all of the transitions in the 11 years down here. So he may or may not be in there. My pillow person is, though. That for sure is in there. I have Mr. Sandman.
Bring me a dream.
I was fighting the urge, and now...
This is a singing show. We do it all the time. All right, so Child's Play is what you are excited for. Eric, give us your second topic.
So recently, I went on a trip, and I had a long flight, so I watched some movies. So I'm going to do a rapid-fire recap of these movies, including... Muppets Most Wanted. It was more of the Muppets. It wasn't as good as the first reboot of the Muppets, though.
Well, because apparently they made this one and didn't invite Jason's, because Jason Segel.
Yeah, he wrote all the music and the script.
Yeah,
the
he had wrote the. Yeah, he had wrote everything, and then they didn't even ask him to come back and write the sequel.
Yeah. Rude. So
I mean, he's the only reason that first Muppet reboot happened. So it's kind of shitty that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the second one, it had okay parts, but I just think on a whole, it just kind of went... So 2.5 out of 5 flames.
Okay.
Next movie I saw was Game Night, which was really fun.
Not Orlando Game Night, the Watermark Wave Award nominated event for favorite hosts.
Which, when this comes out, will you still be able to go online
no.
and vote?
Oh. No, this, I believe, drops on the 15th, which is when voting ends.
Oh,
okay. Voting, I think, ends on the 14th or the 15th, one of the two.
Gotcha.
And the announcement will be over the weekend or that Monday, because then that Tuesday, I believe, is when they have the party. And I will be sitting on a cruise ship in the middle of the ocean, drunk and covered in glitter. So somebody might have to go pick up that award for me if I win it.
And so, Game Night.
Little intermission.
Wave Award nominated event. No.
So I voted for you, Pat.
Well, that's phenomenal.
I did too.
Did everyone else vote?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Then we can remain.
That's a hollow yes right there.
I thought there was a moment. I remember you posted about it. I'm sitting there like, I should probably vote. You know, be a good friend and podcast co-host. And then I think I got up and just like went and did something else. I came back. I was like, why is this page on my computer? What was this? And then like it was a solid 3 days of me being like, oh, that's right. I need the vote. I'm like, he's got plenty of fans.
Every time you open your browser to go to Pornhub, why is this? Oh, right.
Sweetie, Google Chrome saves my tabs from the last time my computer was on. And you aren't completely wrong. I did get sidetracked by like, I think, what was the link this time? It was like pervert bosses or something. And I was like, yeah, we're gonna watch a couple of those.
You want to know how to get a raise?
Exactly. Oh, so bad, but also so hot.
So I was actually really excited to vote this time around because this is my first time as an Orlando resident where I actually knew the voting like was happening. So I actually got to participate this time. So yeah.
Yay.
Okay.
Well, hopefully the next time we record something, I will be the recipient of a Watermark Wave Award for favorite host.
Have you won a Wave Award yet?
Yeah. Have you been in my office?
There's many.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're lined. They line the walls.
Well, I mean,
I make it sound like there's 400 of them.
The podcast listeners don't know.
No,
I was asking for them.
I have won 3 first place awards, and I've placed second or third like 4 or 5 other times in categories. I've won first place for favorite host for karaoke,
mm-hmm.
Which karaoke trivia and bingo all the same category. Normally I'm nominated for Barrioke this time around. The people who nominated me wrote me in for Game Night, so I'm not mad about it because it'll be a nice little cap to having one for Barrioke and I'll have one for Game Night. I took first place for favorite new business in Orlando for Bears in the City, and I came in first, I think that was 2012, and in 2013 I took first place for favorite local photographer.
Oh, very nice.
So all my major like avenues of stuff that I do, I have taken I've taken first place in before. So it'd be nice to get one more, just for funsies.
Cool, cool.
So back to Game Night, the movie,
yeah,
not the Watermark Wave Award nominated.
No, completely different. Starring Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, and Kyle Chandler. It was one of the comedies last year where it came out and people were like, looks okay. Didn't really grab anybody's attention too much.
I got tagged in a bunch of times because of Game Night, the Watermark Wave nominated event. But no, that's the legit, people would tag me in it and I was like, oh, okay, I mean, it looks fine.
Yeah.
But then I heard reviews and I had people tell me that it was really good.
Yeah, it was really well scripted, acted. It had a couple twists to it which were unexpected. Ooh. And well done. I thought it was just a good movie, good solid movie. So I give that one 4 out of 5 flames.
Nice.
Okay. That makes me happy actually, because I bought it on Black Friday And I haven't watched it yet. It's on my list of to do.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, well, movie podcasts I've listened to put it in blockers in kind of the same level, in that they were movies that came out last year that really nobody thought were going to be very good and then turned out to be well done.
That was an episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Yeah.
I think that's the episode you're talking about.
Is that the exact episode title?
Well, no, it was they reviewed, because it was movies that kind of slipped by them, mm-hmm. that they didn't talk about, so they did Blockers and Game Night as one episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Yeah, but I've also listened to other ones too. It's not just Pop Culture Happy Hour.
It's just, I love the fact that those two movies get put together, because that's exactly what they talked about in that episode.
And then the last movie I watched was Pacific Rim Uprising, which is the highly anticipated sequel to the first Pacific Rim, which was giant robots versus giant monsters.
And it was even gianter monsters versus even gianter robots.
And then this one was,
This one had, oh God, who was
John Boyega.
John Boyega.
That's right. I was like, I know there was somebody, like, the promos came out, like, right after a big movie that he was in, Star Wars. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
It was kind of big.
That one movie.
Yeah.
I do have one question, though.
Uh-huh.
Where the hell were you flying to that you managed to watch three movies?
Well, it was round trip. So, okay. But it was Minneapolis. So,
I'm just thinking, like, was this all one flight?
No.
Girl, when I flew from Dallas to Honolulu, I watched four movies. I mean, that I understand, but Minneapolis, damn.
Yeah, but where Pacific Rim was just kind of it was a new take on the whole big monster movie idea. This one was just very derivative and nothing exciting, really.
Okay.
Yeah. So that one gets 2 out of 5 flames, which makes me sad, though, because the first one had such good promise, and then they just kind of were like, we'll kind of put a little effort at doing a sequel.
Like, here's a little effort and somebody that may bring in some extra dollars because he was just in a big blockbuster.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right. So movies. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you caught up from, you know, like 2 years ago.
Exactly.
I'm glad you got on board there. It's all right. That's how that flight to Honolulu, I caught up on like 4 movies that had been out forever. That I was like, all right, I guess I can watch Suicide Squad now.
You should have just slept.
I did fall asleep at one point during it. All right, so back to me. So the last thing I'm going to talk about is comics. Who fucking knew?
What?
Yes. What? I'm still reading comics.
Like stand-up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the book things that you open up and there's art and story?
So comic books. I'm not going to go like crazy about like all these other ones. The War of the Realms is coming in 2 months. This is the longest fucking lead up to a war in a comic book ever. The War of the Realms has been talked about for like the last 2 years. And then they did a 4-month out countdown. Marvel.
Who's War of the Realms?
The realms. All the realms are about to fight. It's mainly been in the Thor books between Jane Foster Thor and then Thor.
Thor.
Thor Odinson Thor. But my conversation is going to center around the X-Men. Because the last time that we talked, I had mentioned that they had brought Cyclops back to life.
Mm-hmm.
We now got the Uncanny X-Men annual, which gave us the entire breakdown of what happened. And Kid Cable's journey through time to bring his dad back, which also tied in, which I was very happy to see tie-ins to other like stories that had happened, including Death of X, which is where we saw him die and all this stuff. But it part of the rebirth of Cyclops was tied into the Phoenix Resurrection story, because that was the last time we technically saw him alive in a comic book before that. Where the Phoenix resurrected Scott to try to get Jean to stay with him, to stay with the Phoenix. And then Jean was like, I'm sorry. And then she like withered him away to a corpse again. But apparently during that, Kid Cable had the Phoenix Cage that the Secret Avengers had tried to get to make during the right before Avengers versus X-Men, and had it remade in really like small version, and they attached it to Dead Cyclops' heart. So because Kid Cable knew that the Phoenix was going to resurrect him, and by that the Phoenix then went into was trapped in the cage and then gave birth to Cyclops again. So
makes complete sense.
It's wacky, you know.
I mean,
comic-ness.
Out of the most convoluted ways to resurrect somebody, it has yet to be done.
Well, I mean, if anything is going to resurrect a character, the Phoenix should be the thing to resurrect a character. So we got that whole storyline, which kind of tangentially took place at points or at the end with the end of the Uncanny X-Men 10-part run, the X-Men Disassembled storyline, where at the end of that, X-Man basically quote-unquote kills the X-Men and himself. They all just disappear. Mutants basically, for the most part, just cease to exist on Earth. This mutant cure is now being produced and manufactured and all this stuff. But at the end of that, we see that Cyclops is still on Earth. So this leads into the Age of X-Men. So now we have two divergent X-Men storylines going on. You have the X-Men that were killed, that are now living in this utopia world that X-Men has created, where mutants are the main race, the superior race. They live in harmony and everybody adores them, and Nightcrawler is a movie star and they're all revered as these heroes and all of this stuff.
So is this supposed to mirror like Age of Apocalypse, or is this supposed to mirror more House of M?
Age of Apocalypse.
Okay.
Because that's where X-Man is from.
Right.
So that's all he knows. Yeah. So he saw that and he saw Earth, and then he's trying to make an Age of Apocalypse where it's all good, but it's all about isolationism. So there is no sexual reproduction. There is no coupling. There is none of that. All of the children are created in pods through natal solutions, I believe is what they're called. And then they're hatched at a certain age, and then they go to the Summers like Institute to be trained in their powers and all this stuff and become amazing people. However, underneath the surface, there's a whole bunch of shit going on. Bishop and Jean Grey apparently were having a little tussle between the sheets, and they eventually kind of figured it out. So they, like, their covert team of like Psylocke and some other people come in and capture Bishop and put him away. But on the other side, we have Uncanny X-Men 11 that came out, which is an oversized issue. It actually contains three stories, which I didn't expect it to be so dark, but it was. So you have Cyclops dealing with the fact that he's just come back from the dead, and basically right around the same time that he's going to be able to like finally be out in the world, the X-Men are all dead. Although he doesn't believe it.
Womp womp.
Seriously. And he basically is like trying to figure out what's going on. He doesn't believe the X-Men are dead, and trying to get Ben Ulrich to help, and goes to confront a New York politician who's for this mutant cure because they want to make humans great again. And
womp womp.
He speaks up at this, you know, at this rally, and then Captain America has to step in, and there's a whole little confrontation between the two of them, and how you said you would help Cyclops in the past, but now you're here defending this rally, and blah, 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 and all this. So then he eventually goes on television, and he's like, if there are any mutants out there, meet me back where it all started tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So then he goes out to this, like, you know, this area, and there's nobody there, and then he gets basically surrounded by the Reavers and the Purifiers and like all these people who want to kill the last X-Men.
Womp womp.
Exactly. Except, out of nowhere, a voice goes, he's not alone. And then you see Snicket.
Snicked.
So then
Snick at night?
Snick at night, yes.
Lemony Snicket.
Oh.
So then we switch out of like that story, and then we go into Wolverine's story about how like he's keeping an eye on Cyclops, and mind you, Blindfold has shown up and like told Scott not to do what he's about to do, and like this is forever and blah 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 and all this stuff. So then Wolverine eventually finds Blindfold, and she tells him that he needs to keep an eye on Cyclops and blah 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 and all this stuff. And then he follows him through all of these steps until eventually they show him up in the tree, and they kind of like fast forward through that little last portion. At the rally, he's on top of a building, and Natasha and Bucky are up there like as the sniper positions. So they talk to him when the whole like fight goes down, and he's like, all right, I'm going to leave him to this and all this. So then he jumps out and starts killing Reavers and Purifiers and all this stuff. Then we get to the emotional impact of this issue. Blindfold story about how her powers are kind of out of control, because normally she has no eyes, so she just walks around with a blindfold over them. And how like she's confusing the past and the present and the future. So as things are happening, she's concerned, but things have already happened. But then there's future stuff and like all of these like things that are going on, and she's kind of losing her mind a bit. They show you the whole thing where she deals with Madrox, who popped up at some point during the story. I don't care. Layla Miller popped up. Still don't care. Loved him back in the 90s. I don't really care right now. And then she goes and sees Cyclops, and then there's the Wolverine portion of the story. And then she goes into the bathtub and kills herself.
Mm-hmm. Womp womp.
I was like, wow. This got really dark really fast.
Every time she tries to fly, she falls.
We're not talking about Asia O'Hara's butterflies right now.
Oh.
You went somewhere I didn't go, but I appreciate it nevertheless.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But it was a really heavy, but a really good like start to this new like line for the X-Men. Like, it's because you know eventually the Age of X-Men is going to end, and the X-Men are going to be back in this main Marvel universe, and it's just interesting to see where like all of this is.
But what will they come back to?
Well, that's very true. So it's kind of crazy, but I enjoyed it. I think that if you've been kind of tipping out of the X-Men lately, you can just jump into Uncanny X-Men 11 without really kind of reading the backstory. They fill you in enough that you need to know. And I think it's hopefully now, especially that the movie rights are back in Marvel hands, that we'll have a little bit more love and care given to the mutants, and we'll see some better stories coming out of it. So those are our picks for the things that we have enjoyed this month in pop culture. But before we sign off, we are going to do a quick round of our one-ups for the month, the things that are giving us life here in the month of February in the year 2019, after last year, January.
It's been a long year already. It's only February.
Ugh.
Eric, what is your one-up?
So I have been listening to a podcast.
This one?
No, I never listened to this one.
Oh, okay, just checking.
It's Nicole Byer's Why Won't You Date Me?
I've heard of that.
Isn't it the Nailed It host?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
So this is her solo podcast, but she brings guests on every week to talk about their love life and why Nicole is always single. And Nicole Byer is so much more than just the host of Nailed It. She
also played a really nice postman in The Good Place.
I heard.
Lady. Postal worker.
Postal worker. Thank you. That was the term I was looking for.
She was on that, and she recently did another sitcom that I can't
think of. She did kind of a show where she played like an embellished version of her life. I think it's called Loosely Absolutely Nicole. And yeah, it's like, I think every season is on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's a Facebook show. It's a Facebook watch, I think, is their TV channel.
It's really, really funny.
She also was in a commercial for, or an advertisement for voting to get the millennials to be more active in the political community.
Eric is like, none of these are what I'm talking about, but thanks for chiming in.
I appreciate all of it. And she also had a stand-up released on Netflix recently as part of the Comedians of the World set. But her podcast is hilarious. It's so filthy and raunchy. It's fantastic.
Please tell me it's better than the Drag Race one. Because I listened to half an episode of that, and I wanted to jab myself in the eyes.
It's better. Yeah. She's had such gay celebrities as Big Dipper and Pandora Box and Trixie Mattel on.
I was like, so she's got no budget for this podcast?
I mean, it's all going to be these comedians that go around.
It's like us.
I love the picture for the podcast.
Yep. It's got a great theme song that she sings. Why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? But it's really funny.
Is that it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe she should join us on one of the episodes. Since
I think so.
We seem to have about the same budgets.
Yeah.
she and BJ can she can come in on host or not host, but
oh my god,
guest star.
We can find out why we're both single. I'd like that. That would be great. I would love to sit and talk about why we're perpetually single together.
So if you're listening out there, give us a call.
Nicole, girl, come on. I'll order a pizza and tacos
because you know she's a listener to this podcast.
Of course. Why wouldn't she be?
But that is my one-up.
Delightful. BJ, what has given you life this month?
The musician Lizzo.
Who she be?
She be a wonderful large black lady that has some wonderful music.
I do my hair talks, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling?
Feeling good as hell.
Very good.
Yeah, that was the first single by her I'd ever heard, but she just released a new one called Juice. And if you have not heard Lizzo, she is absolutely wonderful. The first lines of the song is "Mirror, mirror on the wall, don't say it because I know I'm cute." So just to give you an idea, her music's very body positive and everything. So, if anybody out there is looking for a new music artist, look up Lizzo. I know Rolling Stone did a article on her as one of like the top artists, new artists to be listening out for. Like the article pretty much said everybody should be listening to Lizzo.
Awesome. And she likes to twerk and dress up as Sailor Moon and play the flute. So
yes,
she gets multiple check marks in my book. So that is Lizzo, Lizzo. Check her out online. And if you are a fan of Drag Race, you have heard and you watched season 10. Was that the one that was the one Monet went home on?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was her and Cameron.
Yes. The first of Cameron's three
side splits. Yeah.
Side splits. Episode after episode after episode. So Lizzo, awesome. Josh, what is giving you life?
So Saturday. No, it wasn't Saturday. Hold on. What's today?
Sunday.
Thursday.
It's been a long year.
It's been a
Remember
long
Thursday?
Week. It's been a long week. So Thursday, a friend of mine and I went to the House of Blues to go see Andrew McMahon play.
Andy? When he posts this stuff and he's like, great seeing you, Andy. I'm like,
yeah.
It just makes me giggle. I'm like, wow. He's like, BFFs. I love it.
He's gone like 9-10 times.
I still wouldn't call them like by a shorthand name if I don't know them. I've seen Mariah a bunch of times. I don't go around and be like, what I mean, me?
One day. Right. So we did the VIP, which was really cool. We got to sit in on soundcheck, and that was actually really cool. He tested out something he wanted to do in the show. So he had this huge blue cloth, you know, and he brought it over the audience and, you know, had everyone underneath it, you know, like with their cell phone lights on, and then just kind of like poking up. So when you're on the outside, it looks like water, because the whole, and I've been to a lot of concerts and never have I seen a theme for the concert. So this one, he was hosting a pool party. And so like he had like there was all like these props and it was amazing. He had this whole raft, and at the end of it he ended up getting on the raft, and then that raft was kind of like going across the audience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really, really great show. A lot of songs, you know, from his self-titled work, but he also played a good handful of like Jack's Mannequin music as well. So it kind of brought me back to my high school days. But no, it was a fantastic show, and he's super nice, and it was a great experience.
Nice. Very nice. Glad you got to see Andy in concert.
Andy.
All right. So my one up is going to be something that I talked about, I believe it's a one up a couple months ago when I got the first volume of it. Gengoro Tagame's manga, My Brother's Husband. I had part one. I'd gotten that. It was recommended. Aaron had gotten it at a comic shop. Because he figured one of the gay bears would want to buy it. And he was right, because an oral read it, and then he was like, you need to buy this. So I did. And I enjoyed it immensely. And actually sent it to a friend in Chicago when I sent a little care package up. I was like, hey, you should check this out. And so, to return the favor, Volume 2 had come out. I didn't even know about it, but it was part of a belated birthday present when I went up there a couple of weeks ago. So last weekend, when I had not much going on Sunday night, because, you know, I live a very fun and eventful life where Sunday nights I'm either here recording with you guys or just sitting on the couch. And I, it's like a 300-page manga, and I went through it on Sunday night while I had some stuff going on in the background, just kind of, you know, whatever. And it's adorable. And it's just as good as the first half. It is a very interesting finish. It's very much about this. The second half of this story focuses on the father's journey of acceptance into, like, what if my daughter grows up to love another woman? And not even so much like just dealing with that, but kind of then looking at it from the angle of, well, why would I love her less? I love her so much now that why would it change depending on who she loved? Like, and why did it change? Why am I, even though I said it didn't change how I felt about my brother when he came out, it still did. And I didn't reach out to him. And then, you know, he went and moved to Canada and, you know, got married and all these things. And it shows the first half really kind of deals with the daughter's relationship with her new big gay uncle. And this is really kind of like the father's journey. I thought it was going to go a little tropey and have the dad start like having feelings for the uncle, mm-hmm. because they go to an onsen, you know, the public bath, and like the gay uncle gets out of the bath like all naked, and like the way they had like he kind of it's supposed to be the fact that the father has no hang-ups about the fact that there's just a naked dude right there, a gay naked dude. But the way it kind of is drawn, it's like, look at that ass. So I was getting a little worried about how, like, I didn't want it to go that route. Like, you know, I just didn't want it to go that way. So the fact that they really played it to the fact that he has gotten so comfortable around this person, like, that he can't believe that he actually had these feelings and these thoughts. And it's really how I feel like most people should react to the fact that somebody in their life or somebody that they know is a homosexual or is not the norm, like, that's still the person you knew, or that's still a person, like, just deal with it. So it was very cute, and I was really happy to get the second half. I'm glad that it's not more than that, because, like, I don't need to keep trying to get these $25 hardcover manga books every couple of months. My budget, it's not in my budget. But it was a sweet gift, and I was very thankful to get it, and very happy to finish off the second part of this delightful story. So that brings us to the end of this month's episode. We thank you, dear listeners, for hanging out with us and letting us talk about our favorite pop culture moments with you. Feel free to drop your favorite pop culture moments or things or whatever you want to talk about on social media. You can send us messages, you can send us emails, you can leave comments, you can do any of those things, tweet at us, anywhere on the social medias, find us, let us know what's going on, give us feedback about the show, we'd love to hear from you guys. And if you want, please go become a patron at patreon.com/nerdyshow, and you can earmark some of those dollars to come to us, just put it in the notes, and you know, subscribe, like, review, tell a friend, write it on your titties, and then go on the Kesha cruise and bounce them around for us. I don't know. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Is that your plan?
That's my plan.
I think that is his plan.
Because shout out, I'll be on the Kesha cruise. When y'all hear this, I'll be getting ready in a day or two to go get on board a ship with like almost 3,000 other people just there to get glittered up and listen to Kesha.
And shake his titties.
And shake my titties at the glitter station. Because there's an onboard glitter station that you know I'll be going to. So that is it for this month. Thank you again, and we will see y'all in 2 weeks with another micro, and in another month for more rectangle table pop culture discussion. Until then, peace.
Bye.
I'm the patriarch, the gray hair, the one who has seen things, done things. I remind you of your own dad, or the one you wish he'd been. Sword or gun, you'll always find me on the front line. And though you know that the good often perish in great drama, you won't be able to help yourself. Listen to the voices you love. Keep them close. The mothers, the lovers, the fathers. Do this, because all our stories are too short for bad characters.
Great characters make great drama. More than TV. ITV.